This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can find options that fit your budget and potentially lower your bills. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown for the King!
Burrow back to throw. Guns it deep downfield. Chase is open. 70 yards.
Live from the BMW Welt in Munich, Germany.
Touchdown, Ravens! Rashad Bateman on the receiving end. It's incomplete. Tonight.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Falcons head coach Raheem Morris, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku Sports Channel from Munich, Germany, inside the iconic BMW World, or as the locals call it, BMW Welt. We are here on a Friday of week number 10 right here in Germany. I am set to call the Carolina Panthers and the New York Giants on Sunday afternoon here, Sunday morning, wherever you're probably taking this show in, back in the States. Again, that game between the Giants and the red-hot, unstoppable Carolina Panthers. Definitely make sure you catch that on NFL Network Sunday, or you can catch it streaming on NFL Plus right here on the Roku platform. Chris, I don't know why you find that funny. I'm just trying to set the stage appropriately.
It's very serious. They are the hottest football team in Germany. That is undeniable.
Honestly, name me another one. You can't. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. How are you?
Well, you know, we walked into your trap and then we took their trap.
That's right. Good. Your bankroll freshing right now. See, I can pick up on that.
And Rich, I think I did this to you.
The head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, whose quarterback is now quoting bankroll fresh, because they must be bankrolling because they're on a roll. I don't know. At any rate, Kirko Chains' coach, Raheem Morris, will be joining us. He'll be zooming in from Atlanta. No, he's not here in Germany. Tom Pelissero is going to be first up here on this program.
And by the way, in Germany?
He is not. His hair, I think, is all the way.
He couldn't do customs. Yeah, exactly. There's too much going on.
At any rate, you can call us, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We can take your phone calls. We'll pick up the charges as well. So just call that number toll-free in the United States. We'll take care of the rest. 844-204-RICH. We say hello to everybody watching us on the Roku Sports Channel, listening to us on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, smart enough to have us, Sirius XM Odyssey, tune in. We appreciate anybody who takes us in on podcast form all 3 hours of this entire week, from Los Angeles all the way to Munich, Germany. You can check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Now then, let's start this show with what everybody's talking about back in the States. And if anybody here in Munich was staying up for it, and my two guys over there did, it's Thursday night football, or in the case of TJ Jefferson and Chris Brockman, Friday morning football. On Prime Video. Hopefully you caught it right here on the Roku portal, between the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. And these teams clearly play exciting football games. I will take a morsel. I will take a fraction of the Thursday night football game for me and Kurt Warner on Sunday right here in Allianz Arena. I take just a small little morsel of it. What we saw last night was a game that just went off the hook, went off the rails as soon as Marlon Humphrey yanked the ball out of Chase Brown's hands with about 6 and change to go in the third quarter last night. The Cincinnati Bengals came out swinging. They came out swinging with Joe Burrow, who is on an MVP-type run, if he only wasn't now 4-6. And Ja'Marr Chase just absolutely crushing it again for these two. taking on the Baltimore Ravens. And then as soon as the Ravens made a defensive play and turned the ball over or took the ball away from Cincinnati, momentum put on a purple helmet and a purple uniform. And what we saw from Lamar Jackson in the fourth quarter is the stuff of which MVP seasons are made. And the back and the fourth and the back and the fourth leading to a two-point conversion attempt at the end of the game for the Bengals to go ahead and try and win it. I thought it was an absolute must try. I liked the idea of going for two right there. I loved going for two right there because I'll tell you what, Lamar Jackson was not being stopped by that Cincinnati Bengals defense. And again, what we saw between these two quarterbacks, we have to sit back and take stock and how lucky we are living in this football age right now to see these two guys in the same division taking on each other twice a year in division. And if the Bengals can actually make the playoffs, who knows, we can get a third crack at it. However, 4-6 might be a difficult spot for them to make a playoff run from. But if Trey Hendrickson keeps sacking people and Burrow and Jackson can keep and Chase can keep catching and pitching and catching together, who knows? But in terms of Jackson and Burrow making plays in the same game, last night they became the first quarterbacks of the Super Bowl era to have at least each of them 8 or more touchdown passes in the head-to-head matchups against each other in the same season. We've never seen it before, because Jackson had 8 touchdown passes in the two games against the Bengals this year, and Burrow, including that early season contest where that game was on tilt and went into overtime, 41-38 the final, Burrow had 9 touchdown passes together. Unfortunately for Joe, though, he's 0-2 in those games, and Jackson is 2-0 in his, because what we're seeing again right now from the Baltimore Ravens is stuff we really haven't seen from the Baltimore Ravens. Yes, we've seen running before, and Derrick Henry scored a touchdown again. He scored a touchdown now in each of his first games this year, all of them together. First 10 games, he's got 10 touchdowns in these games, or he's got more than 10 touchdowns, but he's scored in each of these games. And so we've seen that before. We've seen the Ravens lean on the run game, but what we've never really seen the Ravens do is go on tilt on offense to make sure and make up for a defense that is susceptible. Normally, it's the Ravens defense doing the job, and it's the run game in support of that defense doing the job, and it's the Ravens offense that disappears at times or doesn't have a passing game of which to speak. It's famously the place where wide receivers go to die. That's why Steve Smith going there was an outlier. That's why Odell Beckham Jr. going there last year. We were talking about the Odell Beckham Jr. signing as being one of those watershed moments to tell the rest of the league of wide receivers, hey, you don't have to, you know, run the risk of losing your career by going to Baltimore anymore. And the reason for that now is because of number 8. I know I said last week Jared Goff was the MVP of this league.
It was a good take last week.
It was seven days ago.
Hold on a minute. It was that take was the take I had before Lamar Jackson played his last two games.
True.
Okay. And again, what he did against Denver is one thing. But what he did last night against Cincinnati, again, Cincinnati goes up 21-7 and dominated the first half of this game to the point where Lamar only had the ball for 10-plus minutes in the first half. And that was, as a matter of fact, the least amount of time, 10 minutes and 35 seconds of possession in the first half, least amount of time that Lamar Jackson has had in the first half of a game since he came into the league. And then came that moment where Chase Brown had the ball ripped out of his hands. And I don't know what happened, but the Bengals defense suddenly couldn't stop this Ravens offense worth a darn. And Lamar just started making plays. And what he did in that fourth quarter, 197 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a perfect passer rating of 158.3, which is what you need to do when the other team has a quarterback and receiver going on complete tilt. And this is what you need to have also. You need to have an offense that is so on tilt. I can't believe what I'm about to say is a Baltimore Raven offensive stat. Because again, we all know the days even of Eddie George, and even the day when they won the Super Bowl back in the day with Trent Dilfer. And then we saw struggling at quarterback until Joe Flacco arrived. And even then, Joe Flacco wasn't performing as well at the quarterback spot, with the exception of that Super Bowl run, like what we're seeing from Lamar Jackson over the last 5 years. But believe it or not, this is a Baltimore Ravens stat. They are the third team in NFL history to score 20 or more points and have 375 or more total yards in each of their first 10 games of a season. The other teams were the Peyton Manning-led 2013 Broncos and the greatest show on turf, 2000 Rams. Peyton Manning was the MVP of the 2013 season, and Marshall Faulk was the MVP of that 2000 season. Lamar Jackson is the MVP candidate on this such team. And you want to talk about an offense on tilt. Tylan Wallace, have you ever heard of him?
No.
Okay. There's a reason why.
I've heard of
him. There's a potential, and I don't say this to denigrate. These are just stats. This
Marcellus Wallace.
No, no. You know, Tylan Wallace does Tylan Wallace does sound like he should be in Braveheart. right? Or Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
Sir Tylan Wallace.
he hangs out with Sir Barristan.
Seriously, Tylan Wallace came into this game with 89 career receiving yards. 89. That is it. That's all he had coming into this season.
Shout out.
He had, in one fell swoop, 84 yards on his touchdown grab last night. Tiptoeing down the sidelines, I thought for sure, no question about it, that was not going to be a touchdown, because I thought he had tiptoed out of bounds about three times. Instead, that's a touchdown. And Tylan Wallace now has, that's 89 career yards coming into the game. He had 84 in that one play alone. Five catches this year. Believe it or not, all five catches in the two games against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Wow.
He's a Cincinnati Bengal killer.
Jeez.
So, that's working. Mark Andrews is now working. Rashad Bateman is now working. Yep. Nelson Agholor caught a touchdown last night. It's all good. And that's the way you stop a team that has Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase going off the way that they did. After the game, Lamar talked about going against Joe Burrow in an absolute classic on Thursday night.
I just know that's a great quarterback over there. You know, it's a lot of great quarterbacks in the league, not just us two. You know, but it's a divisional game. I just know it's gonna be a dog fight with regardless, because he got dog in him.
How different do those division games feel? I mean, you obviously just win one now, you got one next week. I mean, how different from a regular game is it?
It's like a playoff game. You know, we see each other twice a year. We pretty much know each other somewhat, and guys just trying to get after it.
He's unbelievable, guys.
Getting after it. That's one way to put it. Yeah.
10 career games with four more touchdown passes, tied for fourth most by any player under the age of 28. But wait, there's more. He's got the highest passer rating of 123.2, as it currently stays right there. That would be the highest passer rating in a single season in the history of the National Football League. His passing yards per game, yards per attempt, his passing touchdown to interception ratio, passer rating, and offensive yards per game right now, all very much higher than those statistics in his two previous MVP seasons, including last year. He now has eight straight games with a passer rating of 100 or above. That's tied for the third best in the history of the NFL, behind Peyton Manning's 9 and Aaron Rodgers' 12 of their MVP campaigns previously. He's now 19-5 in career games in prime time. I could go on, but I think you get the point.
Yeah.
The only negative last night offensively is that when he took a victory formation and took a knee, it put them under 100 yards rushing for the night. So that snaps their streak of at least 100-yard rushing. They stopped that streak at 22 games. The only issue here for the Baltimore Ravens, I would say at this point in time, and I think everybody sees it, defensively, they can't stop a cold. They can't stop very much right now. And
Kyle Hamilton,
my guy Kyle Hamilton went out last night.
Yeah.
He got hurt. And at this point in time, guys, you got to be concerned about it moving forward. You have to wonder about it. Marlon Humphrey, who came up with that big defensive play last night, just was flat out honest about what needs to be done on that front.
It's not cool to win a game and you look up and the team has 300 passing every week, you know, and it'd be different if we didn't have no guys that could play. I haven't once heard anybody say we don't have the guys, we don't have the players, we don't have the skill. We're not doing it in practice. It's clear that it's something from when we do that last preparation to the game, what is happening in that span, and we got to figure it out. So it's pretty simple.
And you got to figure it out, one would say, sooner rather than later. Obviously, since there's now 7 games left in the season. Can you believe that? We're now down to just 7 regular season games left.
Flying.
For the Baltimore Ravens, whose bye week is in week 14. Next up for them is at Pittsburgh. This is now on and cracking. Because we will see what happens with the Steelers against the Commanders later this week. And you look at the standings, that's a game for first place. 100% a game for first place. And I can't wait for that one. And then after that, it's a Monday night visit to Los Angeles to take on his brother Jim. All right, here we go.
Okay, baby.
Then they come back home, kick off their December schedule against the, as of right now, red-hot Philadelphia Eagles. They go on their bye week, come back against the Giants, who are going to become one of the hottest teams in Germany, at least when I start that broadcast, right?
Yep.
Say it with me. Think about it with me. Make it happen. Speak it into existence, for good Lord.
Focusing.
And then there is that final game against Pittsburgh that's on a Saturday because both those teams then play the following Wednesday on Christmas, the Ravens at Houston before finishing up against Cleveland. They have swept the Bengals, gents. That is a big-time sweep for the Ravens.
It is.
They are 7-3 going into this final 7-game stretch, needing to tighten the bolts on defense, but they have the MVP of the league. Again, he's playing like it. Got to give it up.
Got to give it up.
That two-point conversion also. I mean, what a blessing to be able to call a two-point conversion and have your quarterback just make a little bit of a move. Also, that throw, that touchdown pass, was that the one to Bateman where he made it look like he was running? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So let's get everybody up. Flip it up.
A little jump shot to him.
All right. He's got Mark Andrews coming on strong. He's got, you know.
Likely still there.
He's got William Wallace's long-lost cousin.
All right,
Sir Tylan doing his thing.
Only thing about the Ravens, are we worried about Justin Tucker?
No, I'm not.
Guys missed more kicks this year than the previous decade, it seems like. And I'm nitpicking.
Clearly, I wouldn't be concerned about him. Like, and certainly Harbaugh's not going to go shopping for a kicker.
I'm not saying shopping. No,
thing is their defense.
We're not used to seeing him miss kicks.
You know, I know they addressed it at the trade deadline. And also, by the way, their offense being on tilt, Deontay Johnson had just 2 catches for 6 yards. You have to assume he's going to get in the mix.
You'd think?
I mean, big time comeback win for this team. And the Bengals, what a complete bummer for them. 4-6 for the first time since 2020. It's the last time that they were 4-6. And for them, we'll talk about them later on, the difference between having a shot at this division and maybe missing the playoffs are these 2 games against the Baltimore Ravens that they were good enough to win. But just one mistake here, one mistake there, and the defense couldn't stop Lamar Jackson when things came down to it, or Derrick Henry. But who is, at this point in time, really able to stop them? I mean, that just one last thing here before we throw it a break. There was this play as well from the 12-yard line, and this is the one that set up Derrick Henry's score to make it 10 straight games to start the season with a touchdown. Lamar, on a 2nd-and-8 from the 12, fades back to pass and keeps fading back and fading back. And I stopped the tape to watch it. He got as far back as the 32. He went 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage before he turned the corner, went down the sideline, and wound up on the 1-yard line. And Al Michaels summed it up perfectly. He said, name somebody else in the league right now who can do that. And Kirk Herbstreit said, nobody. There's nobody.
No.
There really is nobody. I mean, you could sit here, what, Jaden Daniels potentially? Like
Josh Allen?
I don't even know. 20 yards back
avoids the rush, turns the corner, and not only gets to the line of scrimmage, but gets damn near in the end zone from the 12-yard line.
The play's amazing. I'm watching it right now.
It's stupid. You know, and Al had the perfect reaction. He goes, name somebody else in the league who can do that right now. No, there isn't. They sounded like, you know, who can do it right? Who else can do it right now? And it's like Harbaugh. Yeah, nobody.
Nobody.
It's really unbelievable.
It's amazing.
And so we're here watching this game from afar.
Love it.
I'll explain later on how you guys watch the game. That's a fun story.
Yeah.
I'll be straight up honest with you. I watched as much of it as I could back today so I could talk about it, you know, intelligently.
Well, that's why you have us, Rich.
I appreciate that. No,
heavy lifting for
we were
it.
Exactly.
We were
and by heavy lifting, I mean.
And Lamar showed the way for a guy who can run it and throw it. For Daniel Jones to do exactly that on Sunday. So
you
must tune in to NFL Network. Don't miss this game between the Giants and the Panthers.
Master words.
Listen, there may be an eye in Rich and Eisen, but I'm a team player. Tom Pelissero is about to join us next. Let's get some information.
Tommy
who's
Bate,
up, who's down, and who may be out in the National Football League in week number 10. We're off and running here live from Munich, Germany in a sec.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at AmericanExpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are the things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah. I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, back here on the Rich Eisen Show here on the Roku Sports Channel here in Munich, Germany. So we have some guests here today. Some of my poker buddies made it all the way across.
Nice.
They're here because they're, by the way, the worst guys to play poker with because they have nothing but disposable income and bored.
Okay, that's...
Imagine playing poker against these people. We'll just drop everything from our jobs and fly off to see the Giants and the Panthers in Munich, Germany. But at any rate, this is for their benefit as well, is in, you know, that's the fantasy league I want to win
sure,
more than
of course,
anything else.
Of course. How are you doing in that?
I am 4-5, but that's good enough for a playoff spot now. I'm unlucky. I'm scoring a lot of points, but I'm not winning games, but the points is enough of a tiebreak. So just think about how low you might feel right now. Not lower than our buddy, I'll give him a shout out, Matt Levin right now, because he's going against the leaders of the league who have the following players.
Oh, goodness.
Derrick Henry, Ja'Marr Chase, and Joe Burrow.
On the same team?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
They scored, because we give 5-point bonuses for 300, 400 yards and 100 and 200 yards.
So, they're 100 points last night?
They're down 106 to nothing right now.
Oh, man. I mean, just
so I'm just telling quit. Everybody back home.
Quit.
Everybody back home, no matter how down you might be feeling, and there's a lot of people feeling down, can't feel worse than what this guy's feeling right now.
Probably not, no. I mean, Jamar Chase put up 70 in the Dillingham
league. Dude, is that right?
Yeah, the Wolf had him.
Oh, is that right? 70.6. And then she went off to Austria today with Joe Thomas. We got to find out. Oh, yeah. We ended the prices right yesterday, and then she went she went to play Cliffhanger. Hopefully she got the price right, so we get to see her later tonight.
Yodeling up that hill.
Okay, very good. Can you imagine you go against Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and Derrick Henry?
106?
Yeah, to
that's
nothing.
Not fair.
Nothing. Good luck.
That's a shame.
Good luck. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Nothing can stop this man from his appointed rounds. Nothing can stop us from getting our appointed round from him. Even though we are multiple time zones away from this man, Zoom works. And Tom Pelissero is back here in his usual Friday spot on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Tommy P?
Are you guys in Munich or the future? Ah, I feel like Brockman's about to beam me up and bring me over there.
Yes, please do. We are in BMW Welt. We can by the way, we can send an all-electric BMW vehicle for you to be picked up and be here in time. I don't know.
I'll send them a video.
If you can fly, I'm in.
Pretty much. I've seen everything. I've seen all these cars here. Are they working on one of those?
One can fly.
I think they're working on. But yes, we're sitting here in Germany. We got to get you out here the next time. Tom, what's the biggest item in your notebook right now? What do you got that you think is of utmost importance? I very rarely offer a macro question to start and leave it to you to fill in the blanks. Normally ask something more specific. But I'm wondering, what is the biggest storyline to you think in your notebook going into Week 10, Tom?
Well, I would say that the biggest storyline in the NFL right now is Dak Prescott. Even though the Cowboys have a lot of ground to make up based on where they are right now in the standings, you're talking about a very significant hamstring injury, which, you know, Ian and I reported on Monday. It was more significant than anybody had realized. Our Jane Slater, our colleague at NFL Network, then added the additional details that it's a partial avulsion of the hamstring tendon. Those are really tough injuries. It sounds like Dak wants to avoid surgery if at all possible. He wants to do whatever he can to treat this and get back. But the tenor and the tone coming out of Dallas right now, when you have Stephen Jones on local radio in San Antonio saying that it's going to be at least 4 weeks before Dak can even think about coming back, if not longer, you're starting to talk about, is there a possibility we don't see Dak again this season, which then has all kinds of other tentacles to this. They've obviously got a massive game this week against the Eagles at home, where the Cowboys simply haven't played well going back to the playoff game last season. It's going to be Cooper Rush at quarterback. I've seen, you know, debates on other TV networks about should they just play Trey Lance because trade a fourth-round pick for him. Why not find out what you got? Well, they've seen him every day in practice for a year and a half. They've also seen Cooper Rush go 5-1 as their starter in the past. So Cooper Rush, as long as the Cowboys are mathematically in this thing, I would anticipate is going to be the starting quarterback. But the real question is, even if you can survive, when we were talking about these next four games, if you can get by, somehow go 3-1, even 2-2 to kind of stay afloat, is Dak Prescott walking through that door in early December? And again, they're continuing to gather medical information about him. We've seen other quarterback situations around the league that also are potentially impactful. Trevor Lawrence, Doug Peterson confirmed today that it seems like it's trending toward him not playing this week against Minnesota, which means, you know, for a 2-7 Jaguars team that's trying to keep some level of hope alive, seems like it's going to be Mac Jones sliding in there. You know, injuries are a huge part of this, Rich. It's about the timing of them. It's about the volume of them and whether they hit your best players at the wrong times. You know, a lot of the teams that we're seeing right now that are playing really well, the Ravens being an example, they've avoided the injury bug to this point in the season. Other teams have been, you know, banged up. And then for a Cowboys team that, of course, has been playing without Micah Parsons, who may be back. It sounds like he will be back this week. Without DeMarcus Lawrence, CeeDee Lamb hasn't played well. Dak hasn't played well. But now the prospect of going forward without the franchise quarterback of America's team, this has all kinds of implications about exactly where things go from here in Dallas over the next couple of months.
So if Dak doesn't return, let's just throw that out there.
we are going to see an off season in which Jerry Jones needs to make an evaluation on the head coach based on what we've seen to this point. Unless Cooper Rush does something significant to put the Cowboys in the mix, and thus Jerry would be making an evaluation on Mike McCarthy based on the next 7 weeks as well. Or he can just sit there and say, well, I can't really make an evaluation because Dak got hurt. I mean, is that part of the tentacles you're referring to right here, Tom, on that front?
It's about everything in terms of where this franchise goes. Remember, there's a decision one way or another for Jerry Jones because Mike McCarthy's contract is up. So you either need to do a new contract with him or move on and find somebody else to coach the football team. I would say this, regardless of what the external impressions might be, Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones have been lockstep in this thing. They've been on the same page. Obviously, you know, there's frustrations at times with various people in terms of, you know, the lack of activity through the offseason, how slow it was to get the CD deal done, get the Dak deal done. And we'll never know if those guys, if CD had been in camp from the start instead of showing up the week before the game, if Dak didn't have the contract thing hanging over his head until literally hours before the season opener against Cleveland, does this season go differently? It's hard to say. They've got some of the same flaws. They're starting like five or six rookies. You know, the offensive line has had significant changeover. Rico Dowdle has shown, I think, some flashes, but they don't have a running back that's really producing at a high level right now. And the defense has been so decimated with injuries. Another group where they're trying to patchwork it and sign defensive tackles off the street a week or two before the season. All that said, you know, there's been really no signs internally here that there's a fission in terms of Jerry and Mike. But yeah, I mean, everybody, again, is going to have to evaluate this thing as we get to the end of the season. And remember, you know, every organization operates differently, and the Cowboys definitely operate in their own unique way. It would not be the first time that Jerry has gotten to the end of the season with a coach who's out of contract and then taking his time figuring out what to do. It happened with Jason Garrett. Jerry Jones said it, you know, after last week's game. He thinks that Mike's a very good coach. He believes in what he's doing. He knows that the work ethic is there. A lot of things haven't gone their way, but let's not overlook the fact they did win 12 games each of the past three seasons. Does Jerry Jones, at this point in his career and his life, want to reboot and start over? Does he want to go and try to bring in a new coach? There's obviously going to be tons of Bill Belichick speculation, which I think remains in my mind like a bad fit. Does he want to try to just slap another coach in there and continue it for a couple of years? Do they have to go back to zero? I don't see that being an option. I don't think a full rebuild is an option here. And so you have to take all these things together. Is Mike McCarthy the right coach into 2025 and beyond? I would also tell you this, Rich. I've known Mike a long time. His focus right now, his sole focus is beat the Eagles at home, get a big win where everybody can puff their chests out, feel like we're the Cowboys again, and maybe catch a little bit of a lightning in a bottle here.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. We in Germany, he in his Midwestern Mance right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Between nothing to see here and absolutely something going on, what is happening in the Chicago Bears locker room, Tom?
Well, there's some, there've been some strange videos of like the DJ Moore walking off the field after he tweaked something, sitting on the bench while Caleb's still scrambling around. You know, DJ Moore's always had a good reputation in terms of a guy and in the locker room. There's definitely been frustration that he has shown at times here. I think that that's natural when you're not having instant success. And, you know, we know that Caleb Williams even, went to the offensive coordinator early in the season and said, hey, we'd like to, shake some things up. Inevitably, when you're the number one pick and you've brought all the pressure on yourself, as Caleb has, by saying, hey, I want to win 8 Super Bowls and I want to be the greatest ever, when you're sitting there and you're a 500-type football team at the season's midpoint, naturally, there's going to be questions about, okay, why isn't it better right now? And those are magnified when you got the guy on the other side in Jaden Daniels, who right now is sitting on top of the NFC East, and they're out there making big moves to bring in Marshawn Lattimore. But I would caution, and I remember talking with TJ and Brockman and the fellas about this when I was out there, early on in the season here. As much as, we wanted to go like, oh, is this another situation where the number two pick was the best one and they made a mistake with number one? Caleb's really talented, and we have seen it at various points this season. When they're, you know, dropping 40 or whatever it was on the Panthers, you're not watching that game and going, oh, man, they'd rather have Jaden Daniels. You know it's in there, okay, with Caleb Williams here. But from a, I think, general building dynamic, even outside the locker room, obviously, you know, right now you're falling short of expectations. And even worse, you're watching the teams in your own division who all look like they're headed in the right direction right now. I would say this because inevitably there's going to be questions raised about potential changes in the offseason with Chicago and what happens if they don't turn it around. Their team president, Kevin Warren, is a guy who, you know, going back to his days in Minnesota and then as the Big Ten commissioner, he is very methodical. He always wants to get a complete body of work. He wants to give people every opportunity. We saw it last year when there was a lot of speculation about changes. And then what did they go? 6-2 down the stretch, and the defense got a lot better and to acquire Montez Sweat at the trade deadline. I'm not expecting, you know, even with a loss to the Patriots, which on paper, this is a game the Bears absolutely should win. But even if there's boos, even if they lose, I don't think we're waking up on Monday morning and the building has been exploded. That would not fit with what we know about Kevin Warren, who, again, has a long history in this league. That's not what we know about the McCaskies. They've got to find a way to play better and more consistently. And, of course, you know, also, Rich, I can't help but keep thinking back of what would the lens be that we're looking through if Tyreek Stevenson just is looking toward the play instead of into the stands before the Hail Mary. The standings are different. You beat Washington. Everything feels a little bit different, but that's we're often captive to the outcome-based analysis, and I think that the Bears are absolutely a function of that.
Yeah, we'd be talking about Caleb Williams' terrific, gutsy fourth quarter where he's getting pounded, and he's getting hammered, and he still got it done is really what we'd be talking about, and then maybe the Arizona loss would be an outlier as opposed to indicative of yet another circumstance where accountability needs to be had.
And maybe you come in differently to that game, too.
Right.
If you win that game in Washington, maybe you're not, you know, the emotional weight of that. Like, there's been studies done. I know teams have done studies on this, like walk-off wins or walk-off losses and what happens the following week. There is, like, analytical data that will show you that there is an emotional toll on either side of that. Even if you have a walk-off win, it could be draining, and teams historically have not played the greatest the following week. So, yeah, I mean, when you spend several days, you got a long flight back from Washington, and you're sitting there looking at number 29 and going, everybody's watching it on their phones on Twitter, like, what in the hell was that? And you got to address it, and you got to bench him, and you got to answer questions about it for days and for the entire week. I'm not saying they would have gone into Arizona and won, because I think it's really impressive right now what Jonathan Gannon's doing, what Drew Petsing's doing with Kyler Murray and getting those young weapons going. They're on top of the NFC West for a reason, but, you know, it's entirely possible, too. We would have seen a better Bears team show up than the one that really, you know, stumbled all the way through that game.
So we Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. We see McCaffrey back, right? Juwan Jennings back. We're going to get Debo full strength.
The Christian McCaffrey one's going to be the really interesting one because Kyle Shanahan, who, you know, at various points this week, he said, well, I'm not going to say anything till kickoff, which isn't really realistic because they have to activate him off IR by 4 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. And then last night on his KNBR radio show, he was saying, yeah, I expect him to be out there. Barring a setback or a surprise or something, no. I expect him to be out there. Listen, nobody knows for sure on a day-to-day basis on Christian McCaffrey. Everything right now is trending in the right direction. But they thought everything was trending in the right direction prior to week one, and then he came out. It was the Monday night game. It was like Thursday or Friday. He came out in practice, and he had the worst pain that he'd ever felt. There's optimism that he's beyond that he's going to be good to go. The really interesting thing for me to see, and not just because I have him on my fantasy team,
nice,
will be the division of labor in that backfield. Because when you're talking about a guy who's had Achilles tendonitis, Achilles pain, at one point spreading to his other leg as well, you know, Christian McCaffrey, when he's been at his best, you're not surprised to see him get 25, 28 carries in the game. They really want to do that. Jordan Mason's off the injury report. He's been dealing with the shoulder the past several weeks here. I would imagine no matter how good Christian McCaffrey is rolling the first time out here against the Bucs, I'm not going to put a number on it because I haven't been told any specific number, but I would imagine that you're trying not to put 100% of the load on him right away just because even if he's able to go and feels good in the game, you don't have any data to tell you what's he going to feel like the next day, the next week, and for what they hope is going to be another long stretch run.
So bold-faced names that are in danger of missing this weekend's action. Trevor Lawrence would headline that. Who else is in that mix, Tom?
We know Keon Coleman's not going to go for the Bills. Amari Cooper limited in practice again today. So, you know, Bills receiver core that they had certainly, pumped a lot of resources into, that's going to be a question mark headed into, this week, and exactly who Josh Allen's throwing the ball to. It could be a heavy Dalton Kincaid game. We'll see how some of that shakes out. I'm interested to see in the Germany game, and you may have more info than I do at this point, Rich, of do we get our first taste of Jonathan Brooks, the top running back who was drafted? Again, am I interested because I've stashed him on a fantasy team all year? Maybe. But also because they just gave Chuba Hubbard a ton of money.
Yes.
And now you got Jonathan Brooks, who was a highly drafted player. I'd be interested to see what he gets out of it.
How about let me help you here? Since you help me all the time, Tom, let me help you because I spoke to Dave Canales earlier today.
I'm listening.
Jonathan Brooks is in the country of Germany right now. And I think they're just going to test it out on the turf and see what goes on Sunday. It does appear that he is a game time decision, Tom Pelissero. But if there was no chance of him playing, they would have left him in the United States. They did not. He is here in the country of Germany. You're welcome.
Well, I'm a Chuba Hubbard owner, so I'm
very Chuba Hubbard. I will tell you this. Well, I don't want to waste any more of my precious Tom Pelissero real estate, but I'll tell you what I said about Chuba Hubbard. But there you go. I'm giving you information. But you could basically say, but you help me with this, guys. Is that look on Tom Pelissero's face saying, Rich, I knew he went to Germany?
Yes,
I'm not telling you anything you don't know, right?
Tom, you're telling me it's a game time decision, which means that I'm going to have extra work to do at like 6 a.m. Central on Sunday to make sure when we come on for the insider segment on game day kickoff, I know whether or not Jonathan Brooks is playing.
Look at him working in his own self-promotional, although makes it sound like he's just a company man promo there. It's not your first rodeo. Yeah, just make sure you get your rest Saturday night. Who else? Is there anybody else that's out there that we should throw out there? Names? Doesn't have to be on your fantasy team, but anybody else?
The Micah Parsons thing will be significant, and to what extent they are willing to cut.
What about A.J. Brown? What about A.J. Brown in that game? That's his guy. What about A.J. Brown in that game?
Everything seems like it's trending the right way for A.J. Brown. Obviously, he had a knee. It's more or less, from what I've heard, it's like a contusion or a mild sprain. It's not something major here. They've been cautious in the past with A.J. Brown. We saw that during his last absence here. Jalen Hurts, I know, missed practice yesterday. They said it was rest. Then Nick Sirianni in his press conference today said something about an ankle and then was quickly reminded it said rest. Doesn't seem like there's anything necessarily there. But so you got your quarterback and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith all on the injury report. I would anticipate, in terms of Brown and Devontae Smith, knowing the Eagles' history, they're probably both going to be listed as questionable for the game. I haven't seen if we've gotten the final report here. Jalen Hurts, as far as we're aware, going down there against the Cowboys and Micah Parsons. Hopefully it's not an ankle because he's going to have Micah Parsons try to chase him around.
Well, lots of work for you. So tape your rests, Tom, in advance of your of your Sunday. Thanks for the time here. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Enjoy it, fellas.
We are Tom Pelissero, everybody. He there, we in Germany, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. I'll tell you what I heard about Chuba Hubbard
great.
Today.
I would love that.
Because he's on tons of fantasy teams.
He's been awesome.
Yeah, I met with the Carolina Panthers, the hottest team in all of Germany.
Yep, that's a fact.
What?
It is a fact.
They came in. They're on a one-game win streak. Okay. I'm meeting with the Giants tomorrow.
Okay.
Soon to be potentially one of the hottest teams in Germany. And so you shouldn't miss the game.
I'll be up.
No.
Because my son is a maniac.
And your son, your 4.5-year-old son will not care how jet lagged that is at all.
Will not care.
All right, we'll take a break. We're back here. Raheem Morris of the Atlanta Falcons, overreaction Monday. What's More Likely Friday, still to come right here. We're at BMW Welt in Munich, Germany. Back with more in a sec. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light? light fixed or quick service, they'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
These are my three favorite coaching cliches. I'd love to see a press conference where you nail all three of them within one press conference.
Can we double down? And what if I can pull it off in my next press conference in Indianapolis?
This is exactly what we're talking about. Yes, sir. So all right. Ready for them? Here you go. This is number one. I don't have a crystal ball, guys. Okay? Like, that's what you say. I don't have a crystal ball. It's easy. It's whenever somebody asks you to predict the future. Like, for instance, how aggressive are you going to be in free agency? Then you say what?
Well, you see? I mean, if I had, I don't have a crystal ball.
Right.
But, you know, as aggressive as is what's best for the organization.
Very good. That's a good one. Very good. Okay.
Let's start.
Here's another one. It's as simple. You're going to nail this. It is what it is. It is what it is, guys. It is what it is, ladies. It is what it is, folks. You know, like, whatever you want to just throw it out there, it is what it is. That's another one.
Okay.
And then the third one is, I'm only talking about the guys that are here. That's it. I'm only talking about the guys here.
Well, so. I'm gonna triple down and say, what if I can do that all in the same statement in my Indy press conference this week?
Yes, Mike McDaniel,
instant legend.
Yes.
My only request is when I do it.
Yes.
Mid press conference.
Yes.
Can we? I wanna sprint up to the stage, high five.
Let's not forget, like, it is what it is. You know, I honestly. Me personally, I don't have a crystal ball, you know, but really the only guys I can talk about are the players that are here today.
Yes, excuse me.
Pardon me.
Oh, hey, didn't see ya.
Boom!
Attaboy. Triple play. Check everything out on our YouTube channel, why don't you? Over 830,000 subscribers and more. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show from Munich, Germany. Here, hanging out with all of our BMW friends, having a good time.
Great time.
Yes, you guys.
Yes, sir.
Last night after dinner, our good new BFF Marcus of BMW.
What up, yes. Marcus?
I'm assuming he's gonna put in for it. But
yeah, I would imagine.
He picked up a tab last night for all of us. And we greatly appreciate that.
He needed two hands.
Yeah, you know. At any rate, you guys went out after that, correct?
Well,
correct.
Not initially. He did.
But you did.
I did.
You found a bar to watch Thursday night, Friday morning football in.
So we wanted to just like maybe have a nightcap. So we went to a bar, and then we were there till about one or so. And we're like, oh, the game is going to start soon. Let's find a place to watch it.
At 2 in the morning?
So at 2 in the morning, we found
2:15 a.m. is when Germany time is when
the kickoff.
The Ravens and the Bengals kicked off in Baltimore. Yeah.
So we left the one bar, and we found an Irish pub, a small joint with about 10 people in it.
Open at 2 in the morning.
Open at 2 in the morning. NFL Network on the one TV, and then Amazon Fantastic. Prime get about to start on the other. And we're like, oh, we're staying here. And there were some guys in the back.
Was there any other, like, tape-delayed German sports on any of the TVs?
Yeah, there was some, okay. There was some soccer on the third TV.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
And so there were four guys in the back at a table in front of the TV that had Amazon Prime on, getting ready to watch the game. And I'm like, well, these guys are my new friends. So I roll up behind them. Who are we rooting for, guys? And one dude was wearing a Saints sweatshirt. The other guy, I later found out, was a Seahawks fan. Their other two friends didn't have favorite teams, but they're new fans to the NFL,
okay.
And they really like it.
They're locals. They were Germans?
And they're local. Oh, yeah, very. But their English was broken, but it was good. We could have a conversation. And so,
but I'm just pointing out there were German football fans
German
at 2 in the morning
fans.
In a bar to watch Thursday night football.
1,000%.
On Friday morning.
On Friday morning.
Friday morning
football. Don't know what their jobs were. We didn't really get that far in the conversation. We were too busy consuming football and beverages.
Okay.
And
so they're still serving at 2 in the morning.
They were still serving. They ended up kicking us out.
When did they cut you off?
At 4 a.m.
Oh,
they
my
closed.
God.
At one point, TJ was not with us at this point, but about midway through the second quarter, I did turn around. Hey, TJ, when did you get here?
You showed up?
Yeah.
You went back to your hotel.
Back to the hotel.
You turned in for the night.
Look, no, shorts, T-shirt, lounging.
You were out. You were out.
On the laptop, out. Watching 2 and a half Men in German. You know, I'm waiting. I'm just, all right.
So what happened?
Well, I guess FOMO hit. Because I start getting text messages. I start getting pictures. And where are you at? And blah, blah, blah.
So you got out at 3 in the morning. You put on clothes.
It was 2:40 a.m. And I was just like, bro, what are you doing? You're in Munich.
I have to explain to all of our new German friends here who are kind enough behind the cameras and working for the Rich Eisen show. You have to all understand this man doesn't leave his house for damn near anything in Los Angeles, California. You getting out of your hotel room at 3 in the morning to join everybody is, and I'll make a reference that I think will go over the heads, unfortunately, of our new German friends. That's like UMBC over Virginia type upset.
Yes.
Like that is... That's
why when I turned around and like, saw TJ, what? I was stunned like a 16 seed beat a 1.
And so you watched the rest of the game?
We watched till about end of the third quarter. They kicked us out at 4.
And then
we watched it
And then
on,
we stood outside the bar and screamed for like about 20
We took
minutes.
A bunch of pictures. Yeah. It was rough.
Okay.
We
were not sober.
You were banged up.
And RJ, we watched the rest of the game on RJ's phone in the hotel lobby.
Oh, my God.
And then
what time did you go to sleep? 6 a.m.?
Yeah, easily.
6:01.
Easily 6 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, we woke some people up. I think Liz said she heard us screaming.
Well, because of the end.
We may or may not have had a little action.
Because the game was insane.
End of the game, our bet hit, and we were very excited.
Well, their bet started to hit while we were in the taxi back to the hotel.
I don't want to know any more about this story. Now I'm done hearing about this story.
Rich, I just had to apologize to our driver. I looked at him and went,
oh,
Rich,
my God.
Derrick Henry scored a touchdown, and we were very excited. That's all I'm saying.
They lost it, yeah.
Friday morning football, outside of your stupid shenanigans of, you know,
I don't know
bets
why
and all
be
that
stupid.
Stuff. Because I frown upon this sort of stuff. I don't know what you're talking about hits and all that
parlays.
Sort of business.
He doesn't speak.
But I just think it's important and instructive, if you will, for everybody back home.
To know that I left the house?
No, to understand what it takes to be an NFL fan if you live in Germany.
Absolutely.
To watch the games that are of significance
games.
Like
the
that.
Significant primetime games.
You have to commit, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you got to take a nap.
I don't know what the – I don't know. I know how I felt this morning when – this afternoon when we woke up.
Well,
I can't imagine going to work or
– I had to turn in because I was jet lagged, and then I had to meet with the Carolina Panthers this morning.
Very important.
So, I can't be saying,
Tom,
hey –
You're giving Tom information about Jonathan Brooks.
I need to know about this sort of stuff. By the way, you were talking about Chuba Hubbard. He's your guy.
Chuba.
And they just gave him a 4-year, $33 million deal, even though they signed Miles Sanders to a whole bunch and they've got Jonathan Brooks waiting in the wings. They love him. Dave Canales called him the heart and soul of all of the offense that we run here.
I love that.
Is what he called Chuba Hubbard. And he said he brings a certain style, a certain sensibility. He brings a certain toughness and a certain attitude that he equated to Pete Carroll trading for Marshawn Lynch at the trade deadline, even though they already had Julius Jones and a whole bunch of other running backs. And he basically, I said, that's high praise. And Canales said essentially that, you know, obviously he's not it's not that he wouldn't compare him to Marshawn Lynch,
right, but
he's saying that they need that Pete noticed, because Canales has been with Pete Carroll ever since he grabbed him from El Camino College when Pete was at USC. And up until the point where he left for Tampa Bay last year, and now here he is for Carolina as the HC, he said that Pete realized they needed to add even yet more to that running back room, and he turned the guy that they got turned into such a game changer for him. He views Chuba Hubbard as that. Okay. So if you're sitting there going, well, hey, I don't know what's going to happen with Jonathan Brooks, Chuba Hubbard's going to get the football, brother.
I mean, he's fifth in the league in rushing and five touchdowns. Like, he's put – awesome and a very pleasant surprise.
No question.
There really hasn't been much for them this
year. And if you haven't seen Chuba Hubbard play, you can see him play on NFL Network, streaming the game on NFL Plus at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time when it's the must-see between the Giants and the red-hot Carolina Panthers.
Well done.
Thank you. Well, and that'll wrap up hour one. I heard another story, though, about your – he doesn't want to talk about it, but we're going to talk about it.
We should talk about it.
Did you buy a jersey for that guy who's a Seahawk fan that you met at the bar?
It's not that guy, okay? He's the Pavel.
His name's Pavel.
Okay, you met him.
He's a local German guy. He's a diehard Seahawks fan.
Yeah.
He was telling me how it's his lifelong dream to go to a game in Seattle.
Yeah.
And I had been there once for a preseason game a long time ago. For my fantasy league, I showed him a picture of it. He was like, bro, this is so incredible. Who's your favorite player? DK Metcalf. I love DK Metcalf. I really want the DK Metcalf salute to service jersey. I was like, cool. And I went on the Fanatics app and I dialed it up. I go, this one? Yeah. Put in your address.
What do you mean?
Dude, man.
I don't know. It was just something cool.
Chris, I don't know if you don't want to talk about it, but I will just say this to you. What you just did, and again, what is exactly why the NFL exports games to places like this. Fans like Pavel, who dreams of going to Seattle, lives here in Munich.
Yep.
He's out at a bar at 2 in the morning watching Thursday night, Friday morning football between the Ravens and the Bengals. You're an American sitting here, and you just come across the, you know,
conversation.
We come across the world. You meet each other, and you did a good deed. You're paying it forward as an American out here exporting the game. I love that story. That's what international NFL action is all about. Hour number one is in the books. Love it.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Rich, Jameis has taken the Browns to the playoffs.
Dude, why can't they win 7-8 games to finish the year? Why not?
I'm not saying there's no why not, but this is a definitive statement that's clearly an overreaction and is perfect fodder for a show like this one. I appreciate you coming out of the gate hot.
Come react or overreact with us. Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen.
It's game over.
Over, man.